Hey, Smutters.
Hey.
How's your week been?
It's been long.
Yeah, and it's only Sunday.
I'm off tomorrow, so it's fine.
Yes. Today started Hell Week.
Yeah.
For us. Today started the week of moving, and Troy, he had to work today, and I was off, so I was like, I'm gonna impress him and show him what I can do. So I moved stuff by myself today, and I was trying so hard, y'all, but it looks like I didn't even put a dent in anything. I filled my car up to the brim, and it's like when you move, the more you move stuff, there's more stuff that shows up. So it's just, it's awful.
I wish it was that way with money.
Right?
The more you spend, the more shows up.
Yeah. But, you know, it wasn't all bad because it was a beautiful day and I actually got out of the house. I came by your work and saw you. And so it wasn't terrible. I am super tired, but, you know, it's fine. And that's why this episode has come out kind of late, but I did post yesterday that we had a new episode coming out today. That's why I wanted to get it out as soon as we could. So, anything fun or interesting happened to you this week?
Not really, honestly. Just same old stuff.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if anything's happened.
I don't think anything's really happened either. I haven't heard much except the Kate Middleton thing.
Oh my gosh, you guys. This is crazy. I had listened to, we noticed that there was always, you know, jokes and stuff about where's Kate Middleton and all the conspiracy theories and stuff. And I had listened to a podcast about Kate Middleton, the conspiracy theories. And
so you cheated on yourself with another podcast?
I listen to all podcasts. I'm obsessed with podcasts. So then, like, I was talking to Troy, and Troy's like, what is the deal with that? Like, what are the theories? And I started telling him about it. And then as soon as we stopped talking about it, I got on Facebook, and what I had just told Troy popped right up on Facebook, which that creeps me out. Yeah. You know, and then I think maybe a day or two after that was when they announced that Kate Middleton had cancer and was undergoing chemo and stuff like that. So
she probably died a long time ago, and this is their way to cover it up.
That's what one of the conspiracy theories are, is that they're trying to figure out how to cover this up. But, you know, I watched the video that she put out, you know, letting the world know what was going on. It didn't look like her to me, but I'm a huge conspiracy theorist. But I feel like if it was her, I think it's worse than what they're saying, you know?
Right.
Or, you know, maybe it is a conspiracy theory. I don't know. I'm sure we'll eventually find out. Who knows? We may not, because the royal family is good at keeping secrets. But what was it? I was listening to Theories of the Third Kind, and that podcast, and it was on Kate Middleton. So if you want to know the conspiracy theories surrounding that, go listen to those guys. Such a great podcast. So tonight we are talking about the rake.
The what?
The rake. That's what I said. So last week we did the Hat Man, and the Hat Man mentioned that he was also the rake, and that kind of stuck out to me. I was like, what in the world is a rake? So Ashlyn and I were in the car, and I was like, I told her, I was like, you know, look up the rake for me. And she goes, you've never heard of that? Everybody's heard of the rake. And I'm like, seriously?
Yeah, but you're old.
I'm not 15. So she looked it up and she started reading to me about it. And I was like, this is very interesting. So I did a little bit of research on my own, and that's what tonight's episode is about. It is about the rake, and it is a scary little creature.
It's a humdinger.
It really is. It's super scary. So let's go ahead and
dive on in.
Ah, thief.
Thief of joy.
Yes. Let's dive on in.
Bloodline.
So here's what we've got so far. It's a humanoid, and it's about 6 feet tall when standing, but usually crouches and walks on all fours. It has very pale skin, and the face is blank, as in no nose, no mouth. However, it has 3 solid green eyes, one in the middle of its forehead, and the other 2 on either side of its head towards the back. Usually seen in front yards and suburban areas, and usually just watches the observer, but will stand up and attack if approached. Now, when it attacks, its a mouth opens up as if a hinged skull that opens at the chin.
Like a snake.
Yeah, right. It reveals many tiny but dull teeth.
Like a snake.
Yeah. Wait. Do they just have like those 2 fangs, or do they have teeth?
I don't know. I think some of them have teeth.
See, now I'm picturing something ridiculous. Like a snake with a big old teethy smile, you know? Okay, sorry. So, in the character's spindly limbs, low to the ground, lurking, and many teeth help contribute to its name. In the fictitious origin story of the Rake, early sightings of the monster occurred as early as 2003, when reported encounters with the curious, frightening creature began cropping up in northeastern America before a media blackout on the subject apparently began. As a result, urban legend has it that there was a little to no known information on the Rake until 2006, when victims began collaborating the research on the creature and discovered close to 24 documents with dates ranging across centuries, all describing similar encounters with the Rake. Some of the supposed artifacts included a suicide note from 1964, a journal entry translated from Spanish dated 1880, and a mariner's log from 1691, which we're going to go over those, y'all.
Ooh.
The
threatened me with a good time.
Right. Okay. Now, the most famous story of the Rake involves a woman waking up to find the monster sitting at the edge of her bed. We are going over that story too. The character is often said to creep into bedrooms and induce nightmares and observe the dreamers for a time before killing them. Let's see.
Like a snake.
We're over the snake. So there's that. And let me go to this. That is so funny. Our daughter's room is above ours, y'all, and she has a cat, and it gets the zoomies at night, so you can hear it running back and forth upstairs, and it is so funny. It sounds like Stewie from Family Guy when she runs. So let's see here. Here it is.
You look like Stewie from Family Guy.
You look like, oh no.
What did you do?
You knocked over the microphone. Sorry.
Y'all
were so tired. Okay, so let's see here. Okay, primarily focused in rural. I hate when this word is in our stories.
Rural.
How do you say it?
So weird.
I know. In New York State, and once found in Idaho, self-proclaimed witnesses told stories of their encounters with a creature of unknown origin. Emotions range from extremely traumatic levels of fright and discomfort to an almost childlike sense of playfulness and curiosity. While their published versions are no longer on record, the memories remain powerful. Several of the involved parties began looking for answers that year. In early 2006, the collaboration had accumulated nearly 24 documents dating between the 12th century and present day, spanning 4 continents. In almost all cases, the stories were identical. Now, this person has been in contact with members of the group, and they are making a book about all the about all of the cases that were reported and stuff like that. So that's going to be super interesting, and I'm going to keep my eyes open for that. So let's start with a suicide note from 1964. As I prepare to take my life.
It's almost my favorite year.
What? Seriously? Really? You're 5 years off. As I prepare to take my life, I feel it necessary to any guilt or pain I have introduced through this act. It is not the fault of anyone other than him. For once I awoke and felt his presence, and once I awoke and saw his form.
Hey, time out. I really think you honestly should continue the podcast in your British accent.
Really?
Do it.
Okay. Once again I awoke and heard the voice and looked into its eyes. No. Okay, sorry.
Crikey.
That's Australian.
I know, mate.
That's all I know.
Yeah, mate.
I'm just going to make my own.
Crikey's, mate.
Crikey. Oh, wow.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. This is awful. This is in the middle of a suicide note. Stop it. Sorry. Stop. Okay. Once again, I awoke and heard his voice and looked into his eyes. I cannot sleep without fear of what I might next awake to experience. I cannot ever wake. Goodbye. And this was found in the same wooden box were two empty envelopes addressed to William and Rose and one loose personal letter with no envelope.
Evermore.
Dearest Lenny, I have prayed for you. And he spoke your name.
Prayed for someone named Lenny?
L-I-N-N, like, L-I-N-N. Stop it. You make me so mad. Stop. Are y'all still there?
I doubt it.
They left. Bye, y'all. So, Lenny, like a little girl, I think. L-I-N-N-I-E. Okay. Seriously.
Okay.
Because I think a guy is L-E-N-N-Y. Right? Maybe. I don't know.
Crikey.
I don't... Oh, wow. Now, here is a... Stop laughing, because when you laugh, it makes me laugh. Okay. A journal entry translated from Spanish from 1880. I have experienced the greatest terror. I have experienced the greatest terror. I have experienced the greatest terror.
Crikeys.
Oh, wow. Do you think he's experienced the greatest terror?
Tell me one more time so you're sure. He said it three times, so now you got to do what he said.
Now you got to do it. I see his eyes when I close mine, and they are hollow, black. They saw me and pierced me. His wet hand, I will not sleep. His voice... unintelligible text. They couldn't like figure out what he was trying to say. So that was one of the journal entries on the rake. Here is a mariner's log from 1691. He came to me in my sleep. From the foot of my bed, I felt a sensation. He took everything. We must return to England, and we shall not come here again at the request of the rake. And that was in one of the mariner's logs. Not crikey.
It's crazy crikey.
Crikey. Okay. Now, this is a story. This is one of
the... named Jed.
Nope. This is one of the main stories from 2006. And this is the one that everyone pretty much knows. So, 3 years ago, I had just returned from a trip to Niagara Falls with my family for the 4th of July. We were all very exhausted after a long day of driving, so my husband and I put the kids straight to bed and called it a night. At about 4 a.m., I woke up thinking my husband had gotten up to use the restroom. I used the moment to steal back the sheets only to wake him in the process. I apologized and told him I thought he was out of bed. But when he turned to face me, he gasped and pulled his feet up from the end of the bed so quickly. His knee almost knocked me out of the bed. He then grabbed me and said nothing. After adjusting to the dark for a half second, I was able to see what caused the strange reaction. At the foot of the bed, sitting and facing away from us, was what appeared to be a naked man or a large hairless dog of some sort. Its position was disturbing and unnatural, as if it had been hit by a car or something. But for some reason, I was not instantly frightened by it, but more concerned as to its condition. At this point, I was somewhat under the assumption that we were supposed to help him. My husband was peering over his arm and knee tucked into the fetal position, occasionally glancing at me before returning to the creature. In a flurry of motion, it scrambled around the side of the bed and then crawled quickly in a flailing sort of way right along the covers until it was less than a foot from my husband's face. It was completely silent for about 30 seconds, probably closer to 5, but it seemed like a while, just looking at my husband. It then placed its hand on his knee and ran into the hallway leading to the kids' room. I screamed and ran for the light switch, planning to stop this thing before it hurt my children. When I got to the hallway, the light from the bedroom was enough to see it crouching and hunched over about 20 feet away. It turned around and looked directly at me, covered in blood. I flipped the switch on the wall and I saw my daughter, Clara. The creature ran down the stairs as my husband and I rushed to help our daughter. She was very badly injured and spoke only once more in her short life. She said, "He is the rake." My husband drove his car into a lake that night while rushing our daughter to the hospital. They did not survive. Being a small town, news got around pretty quickly, and the police were helpful at first, and the local newspaper took a lot of interest as well. However, the story was never published, and the local television news never followed up either. For several months, my son Justin and I stayed in a hotel near my parents' house. After we decided to return home, I began looking for answers myself. I eventually located a man in the next town over who had a similar story. We got in contact and talked about our experiences. He knew of two other people in New York who had seen the creature we now referred to as the Rake. It took the four of us 2 solid years of hunting on the internet and writing letters to come up with a small collection of what we believe to be the accounts of the Rake. None of them gave any details, history, or follow-up. One journal had an entry involving the creature in its first 3 pages, then never mentioned it again. A ship log explained nothing of the encounter, saying only that they were told to leave by the Rake. That was the last entry in the log. There were, however, many instances where the creature's visit was one of a series of visits with the same person. Multiple people also mentioned being spoken to, my daughter included. This led us to wonder if the Rake had visited any of us before our last encounter. I set up a digital recorder near my bed and left it running all night, every night, for 2 weeks. I would tediously scan through the sounds of me rolling around in my bed each day when I woke up. By the end of the 2nd week, I was quite used to the occasional sound of sleep while blurring through the recording at 8 times the normal speed. It still took almost an hour every day. On the first day of the 3rd week, I thought I heard something different. What I found was a shrill voice. It was the Rake. I can't listen to it long enough to even begin to transcribe it. I haven't let anyone listen to it yet. All I know is that I've heard it before, and I now believe that it spoke when it was sitting in front of my husband. I don't remember hearing anything at the time, but for some reason, the voice on the recorder immediately brings me back to that moment. The thoughts that must have gone through my daughter's head make me very upset. I have not seen the Rake since he ruined my life, but I know that he has been in my room while I slept, and I know and fear that one night I'll wake up to see him staring at me. And that's the story.
Yeah, rough.
Extremely rough. Now, I found a few others.
About the ring?
About the ring. Just about life.
Crikey.
Crikey. Let's see here. Here it is. Last week, at about 4 a.m., I turned off my phone for the night and went to use the toilet one last time. Because of the angle of a neighbor's outdoor lot, it's not unusual to see lights shining through the window. Even early in the morning, due to it being triggered by motion, usually the wind, when I saw light coming from the window last week, I didn't think anything of it. For a moment, the light was blocked off by something, which was slightly less normal, so I was looking over there. The glass to my bathroom window is frosted and prevents anything clear being seen without opening it. It was open slightly, but not in the direction of the light, and as I looked over at the window, I could see a hand-like shape blocking the light briefly. Not jumping to conclusions, I joked with myself about how it looked creepy, but the hand became more lifelike as the fingers started to move over to the open part of the window. For some reason, I was more initially curious than terrified. I'd been drinking slightly. The light also began to move position with the hands towards the open part, confirming it wasn't my neighbor's lights. I moved as slowly as the lights and hand did over to the open section of the window. As everything met, I made eye contact with what I can only call the rake. The lights seemed to come from its eyes, although the rake usually has three. I was only feet away from it. It had an angry expression, teeth showing, extremely wrinkly and very dark skin. Overall, very thin build. I began to get very dizzy as I saw it, almost to the point of passing out. As I tried to regain my focus, the creature moved away from the window at some point. Oddly, I never screamed or lunged. I was just confused, and I've never seen anything like this before. I'm right next to a wood where there are consistent noises, which we all assume to be owls, but I may go in and take a look at night sometime. People seem to have a lot of luck with similar-looking creatures in woods at night. The comments on this, somebody's like, you should definitely do that, go into the woods. Yeah. And then somebody else is like, for fuck's sake, do not go into the woods at night. but yeah, and then somebody said it sounds fun. So there was that. Recent encounter with the rake. Growing up, horror was my favorite source of entertainment. It still is, in fact. The suspense, the gore, the adrenaline it gave me was always just thrilling. However, I never really believed in the stories. Stories were stories, nothing about it. Whether it was the boogeyman, the expressionless, or even more recently popular, the infamous Slender Man. Until last night. I was with a group of friends after a party. It was about 2:30 a.m. and I was ready to go home. A long night of alcohol and hitting on girls for 4.5 hours was good enough for me. I went outside and my friend Shane was supposed to drive me and my friends Connor and Anthony home. I went out front and noticed his car was missing. Fuck, he took off without us. I was about to call him when I noticed we had all left our cell phones in the car. This was typical Shane, leaving us behind when he got ready to go. Connor and Anthony both just started walking down the street back to their apartments. I was going to just go back in and call Shane from a friend's cell, but I wasn't going to get left behind again. I ran after them. Halfway home, a big 18-wheeler came flying down the street in the middle of a fairly rich neighborhood. He was definitely a pure fucking country man, with his greasy brown hair, handlebar mustache, and a cap that said, God bless America. The man slammed on the brakes when he got next to us and offered a ride. We, being stupid, said sure and got in the back. I fell asleep until Connor woke me up What?
Who does that? Hey, country murderer. I'm going to take a nap in your car while you take me off and kill me somewhere.
Yeah, just wake me up when you're done. It's fine. So he fell asleep until Connor woke him up and said we had to get out. We had no fucking clue where we were, so we just went through the woods, and Anthony said they looked like the ones behind the apartment complex. The deeper we got, the more unusual things turned up. Stop. First, a tree split in half with carvings of faces on each side of the split tree. And then we found a sex doll cut in half with a rifle shoved in its mouth. And then finally, a cottage.
I didn't. Now let's check out the creepy cottage.
Yeah, let's go inside.
It's safe.
I didn't think anything of it, and no, I walked. You didn't think anything of it. Okay. This is how people get murdered, folks. I walked right past until we saw that thing just beyond the house. There was something in an old There was something in an old school goalie hockey mask with long hooks for arms. He looked starved, naked, and bare. And I fucking booked it to the house. I barricaded the door with a couch. My friend ran out of the woods. Lucky them, I thought. I may be able to call the police if there was a phone inside. I went to the back of the house to find one when I realized the back door was open.
Dun, dun, dun.
The fucker darted in the house. I'm scared shitless at this point and make a beeline for the window and try to jump through. First time, nothing happens, so I throw a lamp at it. It breaks, and I leap through and cut my leg. I pretty much half limp, half crawl my way out of the woods, and I look back only once, and I see him on the porch watching me.
He knows he don't have to run now.
He shouts, "Come back tomorrow. I get lonely." What? Oh, he just said the same thing I did. He said, "Wait, did that fucker just talk? I'm Rake. I am Rake. I am Rake," he shouts for about 15 minutes as I frantically crawl out of the woods. I couldn't believe it. I thought it was a dream. I hitched two rides, the first one mugging me and shoving me out of the car after about 5 miles. When I got home, I got the police first, and then Shane both answered. However, Anthony and Connor have been missing since. Apparently, the trucker was also killed, and I turned up in the woods too. I need help, as I haven't been stable since the attack. I will try to update from the hospital, but I may not be able to until I am done recovering. You know what? Here's the thing. I do feel sorry for this person, but you got to take a little responsibility for your actions. Right? Yeah. I mean, hitchhiking and having untrustworthy friends that take your stuff, and then you end up in...
I'm still thinking about the fact that he said he was hitting on girls all night, and evidently he struck out for 4 hours.
Yeah, that's... I didn't catch on to that part, but you're not wrong. Let's see. Here's another one. This is by Afro Dragon. The person that wrote it. I was trying to go to bed on a winter evening. I looked at the clock and read what?
Someone named Afro Dragon.
That's their screen name.
But they speak and call it evenings instead of not.
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
It was too early for most people to sleep, but I had been tired that day from a lack of sleep the night before. I closed my eyes and tried to fill my mind with pleasant thoughts. That always seemed to help me fall asleep. And as they filled my mind, the darkness from the room slowly crept its way into my vision. The vivid colors that everyone loved to stare at from their closed eyes were replaced with utter blackness. And that's when the darkness had found its way into my thoughts as well. As soon as I had just one thought about the dark world that surrounded me, my years of surfing the dark places of the internet had whooshed back from my memories. The thoughts of Jeff the Killer, Small Dog, Slenderman, and the worst of all to me, the Rake, all filled my mind with horrible images that made my body shudder. I was able to easily push off the thoughts of the first three as I was too tired to care, but the thought of the Rake stuck with me. The idea that if you even catch a glimpse of the creature and you would die made me wonder how exactly would you die. And I lay there in my bed, face down. It was always the comfiest position for me to sleep in, thinking about the creature. And that's when I felt it. There was something sitting on my leg. I could feel the pressure on my calves. I didn't want to look at what it was for fear of discovering its true identity. I lay as still as I could, slowing my breathing to the point of almost suffocating myself. And when the pressure had not left my legs after what seemed like hours, I decided enough was enough. I mustered up my courage and began counting down in my head. 5, 4, 3, 2. Then the image of the Rake would appear, forcing me to mentally flinch and have to start the countdown all over again. This cycle was repeated many times before I decided enough was enough, and I counted down. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I held my breath, and I mustered the strength needed to perform the action I had planned. With a quick motion, I flipped myself along with whatever was on my legs over onto the ground, and when I got up, the creature had already positioned itself across the room from me, standing on its hind legs. I couldn't believe what I saw. I went to rub my eyes in disbelief, but I stopped myself. I was acting rational despite my exhaustion. The moment I closed my eyes would be the moment of my undoing. I stared the creature down, peering into its soulless eyes. As the moments, or what seemed like moments, passed, my eyes slowly adjusted to the darkness and I was able to fully see what I was staring at. It was the creature from my thoughts, the Rake. It was real and it was in my room. I thought back to the legend of seeing the creature. I could care less if I was going to die, but I knew I wasn't going to go out right there in my own bedroom. I tried to think of a plan, maybe grab the nearest thing on the floor to use as some sort of a weapon. I looked around in front of myself, trying not to lose eye contact with the Rake. I saw a shoe, a worthless weapon, but better than nothing, or so I thought at the time. I tried to make my body move towards the shoe, but I was met with twitches among my arms and legs, and that signaled the creature to begin. It darted toward me, shrieking so loudly I had to cover my ears, and before I had time to recover, the Rake had already rammed its body into me. I fell and hit my head on the back of my nightstand. My ears rang as my vision refocused on the creature attempting to tear at my body. I couldn't move as my body was unresponsive to every order I gave it. I could only helplessly watch as the creature scratched and clawed at my body. I had given up at this point. I could do nothing against this creature. I closed my eyes, but was immediately meted with the thought of the knife I had kept stored inside my nightstand. My body was responsive again as I was able to wiggle my fingers of my left arm. I used this to grab a textbook from beneath the bed and smash it against the creature. The book struck with a loud thwack and the creature toppled off of my body. I used this time to pull myself up to my bed and open the drawer from my nightstand. And I glimpsed the side of the knife as the drawer opened and a spark of hope ignited in my eyes. I looked back over at the Rake, which was slowly starting to stand again, and I grabbed the knife by its handle and unsheathed the blade. Even in the darkness, I could see the shimmer of the silver metal as it left its protective cover, and before the creature could fully stand, I had jumped over to it and was slashing violently with my knife. I felt as the knife split its skin and its warm blood splash across my hands, face, and arms. When I was done, I threw the knife down and grabbed the creature by the neck. I needed to know for sure that this thing wasn't going to come back, and I started to squeeze with what strength I had left, and I kept squeezing and squeezing until I felt the pop of the Rake's neck. I had broken it. That way I knew it would never be back for me. I dropped the limp body to the floor and stumbled to the ground, placing my back against the wall. Only then was I finally able to rub my eyes. As my hands left my eyes, I was immediately overcome with grief. I panicked, not knowing why I felt that way, and I strained my eyes and looked at the clock. It read 8:10 p.m. in its bright blue symbols. It had only been 10 minutes since I tried to fall asleep. I laid my head back against the walls and allowed my eyes to readjust to the darkness, and once they did, I stopped breathing. The body that lay before me was not that of the rake, nor that of any creature of the darkness, but the body of my little sister. I couldn't believe it. Tears filled my eyes and began dropping down my cheeks, and I was still unable to breathe. I felt my heart pound into my chest as I sat there staring at my four-year-old sister's lifeless body. In my breakdown, my mind pieced together what had happened. I had not heard her open the door to tell me goodnight. When she saw that I was lying down, she must have thought it would have been funny to sit on top of me, which she usually did when I would take a nap during the day. When she had done so, my mind decided to betray me. When I flipped over, it had sent her, not the rake, tumbling to the floor. And when I believed the rake to have been charging at me while shrieking, it had been her running to hug me as she was crying. I was not thinking rationally when I denied myself from rubbing my eyes. I denied myself from seeing the truth. The clawing at me was her desperate attempt to get my attention. Air finally found me as I took in a deep breath and sobbed as loudly as I could. I cried, which I hadn't done in a year, and I found myself screaming the word no over and over again until my mother had come in to check on me. When she came in the doorway and turned on the light, she saw the mess that I had made, and before she could question me on the matter, her eyes scanned over the corpse of my sister and she froze. Through my watery eyes, I could see her cover her mouth and run away with tears of her own streaming down her face. I could no longer sit up. I collapsed in front of my sister's body face first, and I lay there, staring at what used to be my sister. I heard sirens approaching the house. I didn't care. I deserved whatever fate had decided for me. I began to hold my breath against my body's will. Hopefully, I could have deprived myself enough oxygen that I would fall unconscious. Only then would I be able to escape the image of my dead sister. I shut my eyes, closed to try to escape it, but it was no good. The image was burned into my eyes. I continued holding my breath until the pain in my chest was so great. I thought my chest was going to burst. I welcomed that, as it was better than living on with the burden of my dead sister on my hands, and I kept holding my breath and waiting as the pain grew and grew, only seconds away from peaceful bliss. And that's when I felt something sitting on my leg.
No, thank you.
Okay, so there's a prequel to that story. Now, apparently the guy had seen the rake before. And him and his little sister were extremely close is what I'm seeing. But, it apparently made a lot of appearances. And he was extremely scared of the rake.
As it should be.
Yes, but the rake did make another appearance at 3 a.m. and just let the guy know that he was going to be back. And that was why. So, and these are just stories, y'all. They're not true stories. It's just, I hope that's not a true story. It's just one of those.
You tricked us.
Well, the rake started as a creepypasta, and then once people got into it, that was when they started finding reports on the rake from, like, you know, years and years later. Make sense?
Yep.
Okay. But this one, this last one, it was a Reddit story, and that was one of the scarier ones. So there it is.
There it is, folks.
All right, you guys. I hope you enjoyed it. I know it's been kind of a weird one tonight. We tried to do our accents, but they didn't really work, did they? All right. We will see you guys next week. We will have a better story next time. We've been kind of rushed this week just with everything going on. So I will have a wonderful story for you guys next week. And do you have anything you need to say?
Nope, I'm good.
You're good? All right. Everybody layer up and stay hydrated and make good choices. We'll see you guys next Sunday.
Peace. I'm the rake.